Well, good morning. This morning, we conclude our sermon series, The State of the Church, by looking at part three and answering this question, why bother with church? Why bother with church? In particular, why should we bother with the local church? We live in a time in our culture where there is a growing number of alternatives to church on Sunday. As the number of options available to us grows, church seems more and more irrelevant than ever. John MacArthur writes this about the idea of the local church and even attending. He says, too many people today tend to be church consumers. They're only interested in what they can get out of their church. They don't have any particular commitment or loyalty to a specific assembly of saints. In fact, they have little or no attachment to the church at all, and are under no obligation for regular attendance. If they make it, they make it. If not, it's no big deal. He goes on to say this, the idea of believers living independently of the church is totally foreign to the New Testament. Totally foreign to the New Testament. So we're going to be talking about and answering this question, why bother with church? And as I introduce kind of this idea that it's not always been a priority for some, and I think increasingly it becomes less and less of a priority even for Christians, you may be thinking, well, Pastor Dave, that's not me. I'm here. If I would have known this, I might not have come. Wait a second. You're like, I'm here. Well, to the fact that you are here, I say a resounding thank you. I'm glad you're here. But hold on, there's more for us, even those of us who are here on this particular Sunday. Because when addressing the question, why bother with church, I want you to see this morning very clearly that the Bible not only addresses the idea of attending church, but it goes deeper with the challenge and expectation for us to be engaged with the church and with each other. It's beyond just attending. While attending church is very important, it can easily become very passive. And here's what I mean. It's easy for people to show up, sit down for, I'm not going to give a time because I don't always stick to the time, but they show up for whenever the service runs, and then immediately they leave. And it's pretty passive. But the Bible encourages us, as it relates to the local church, it's much more than just showing up. There's more than just showing up. I'm so glad you showed up. But is there more? The answer is yes. That's why we bother with church, because there's more. Take your Bibles with me if you would. Hebrews chapter 10. If you don't have your Bible with you, I encourage you to take the pew Bible. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 24 and 25. There is more to church than just showing up, but let's start by showing up. Let's start with that and then go from there. And I think these verses will be familiar to some of you if you've been around church for a while, because pastors love these verses about showing up. But there's more that perhaps is overlooked. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to start with verse number 24. The writer begins this way. And let us, talking about Christians, fellow believers, consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So even way back 2,000 years ago, there was the issue of people not showing up to gather. So it's not unique to us, but it still is a challenge for us today. So here's the big idea. Here's the statement that I want to unpack for us this morning as we answer the question, why bother with church? Here it is. Connection to a local church is designed, and if I had time to change the slide, I would write designed by God for our spiritual benefit, while isolation from the local church is seen as detrimental to our spiritual growth. It's clear from these verses that showing up and doing church together in the local church setting is beneficial to us, and God has designed this. And if we decide, hey, I'm going to just come whenever I want, or we don't show up that much, or we're not involved in church, it can have a spiritual detriment in our spiritual walk. It can have a spiritual negative effect on our walk. And we need to be thinking about that. It's more than just showing up. As I have shared with many people over the years, you don't have to go to church. You get to go to church. We don't have to be here. We get to be here. You're like, oh, I wish I was so excited as you. I want to say that statement one more time because it's really important. Connection to a local church is designed for your spiritual benefit and mine. While a lack of connection to the local church is seen in the scripture as detrimental to our spiritual growth. So back to Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It's going to be on the screen again. If you have your Bibles open, leave it open because maybe you want to underline some spots here. I want you to notice the active, not passive nature of these two verses as it relates to the local church. You can't read these verses and walk away passive. Oh, you could, but you're reading them wrong. Notice the active nature. First of all, we're called to spur one another on toward love and good deeds in the context of the local church. That word spur means to stir up, to provoke, and to incite. Now, I love that because some of you, when you hear the word incite, you're thinking riot. Yes! Let's have a riot every Sunday and stir each other up for love and good deeds. Wouldn't that be fun at work tomorrow? What did you do at church yesterday? We had a riot. What do you mean you had a riot? No, we had a riot. What, really? Yeah, what were you protesting? We weren't protesting anything. We were stirring each other up towards love and good deeds. Now, they might be like, I am never going to your church. Because But this is literally what this word means. To spur each other, to get each other excited about love and good deeds. In other words, the local church provides a unique God design and established setting for us to do two things. Love God and love people. Let's have a riot each Sunday to love God and love people in this local church and other local churches. That's why we gather. That's part of the reason. And if you walk away on Sunday mornings and there's a sense that you're loving God a little bit more and loving people a little bit more, we have accomplished the riot. We've caused some holy chaos here. Because I can't speak for all the other churches in our country, but I would imagine there may be a few churches that people attend, and if it's very passive and in and out, they go in and out and they don't really love God anymore when they leave, and they really don't even like the people anymore. They like them a little bit less. That's not the purpose of the local church. It's active. Here, you should be like, oh man, I'm going to get up a little bit earlier. I can't wait to go to church. Yeah. How does this happen? How do we love God in an active way in the local church setting? Well, I read this last week and I loved it. The local church should be a place where we make much of God. I love that phrase. We make much of God. How about we come together and we gather together and make much of God and love God? How do we do this? Through the hearing and interaction of His Word? We make much of God because it's His Word, right? We make much of God through our time of worship. As you come in and you sing praises to Him, we're lifting that sweet aroma to God, that sacrifice of praise. That is a good thing. That's an active thing. We're loving God. And even through informal times, as you talk with each other and you're giving thanks to God and just giving testimony what God's doing in your life, and sometimes we have it in other settings, that's making much of God. That's loving God. And also loving people. We're supposed to stir each other up for loving God and loving people. How do we do that in the local church setting? Well, there are over 40 one another's in the New Testament that we're supposed to be stirring up in each other. And some of them happen right here, right now, but not a lot of them. A lot of them happen in the context of the local church, but in other settings, in small groups, in the relationships that you have with each other, but they're there. And so we learn to love people, and the local church is the place to do that. If we spend most of our time away from the context of local church people, and I don't mean that you have to be at church all the time. I'm talking about if we isolate ourselves from Christians, we're denying ourselves the opportunity to practice the one another's and to have them practiced on us. Because let's be honest, we need to pray for each other, but we also need people to pray for us. We need to love each other. We also need people to love us and to strengthen us. These one another's. And when it says to stir each other up into good deeds, here's how I've seen it work. I've seen you gather as a local church, not just in this setting, but in other settings. And I've seen you gather and you hear about needs that people have. And know what some of you do? You have the audacity to go out and meet those needs. You stir each other up on good deeds. You see, you hear a need and you deploy yourselves to meet those needs. Isn't that the church being active? What if I don't want to, you know, do that? Well, then just come in and come out and don't talk to anybody. And it won't happen. Be very passive. But if we want to experience the joy and the growth found in the New Testament church and the local church, we need to be doing this. Loving God, loving people. That's one action phrase there. You see that in that verse. Also notice in verse 25, we're told to encourage one another. That's an action phrase. That's a verb phrase, to encourage one another. That word means to exhort, to admonish one another. Here's another definition of that word encourage. In the Greek, you might want to write this down. It's not because fancy because it's in the Greek, but it's important to clarify. That word encourage means to come alongside somebody, to do life with them, in the context of the people that you know from the local church. Encourage one another. What does that look like? You come alongside each other and you support each other. You care for each other. You even rebuke each other at times. You pray for each other. You strengthen each other. You be there for each other. That's how the encouragement takes form. And it happens in the local church setting. We gather to encourage each other to keep doing these things, to be there for each other. It's so easy to be isolated. And we need to be encouraging each other. So you have these action words about spurring one another and encouraging one another. But at the beginning of verse 25, also notice another action that we're supposed to avoid. It says, not giving up meeting together. This is referring to the detrimental part of not gathering. It says, hey, spur one another, incite each other for love and good deeds. That's positive. Encourage one another. Come alongside each other to encourage, strengthen, and pray for each other. But what happens if we don't do these things because we're not meeting together? That's detrimental to our spiritual growth. We need each other in the context of the local church. I don't want to hammer this away in a negative way, say, you should be coming to church, stop missing church. It's more, why would we want to miss church if there's these other things? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves, because it really doesn't help us spiritually when we don't meet on a regular basis and when we don't engage with other believers on a regular basis. We need each other. I might even put it this way. I'm going to. The local church is a necessity, not some accessory to our spiritual walk. It's a necessity. One author put it this way: a Christian without a church is a Christian in trouble. You're going to have to skip the whole book of Acts if you don't think church is important. Just take it right out of your Bible. As a matter of fact, take out Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, James, Revelation. Whoa, you got a pretty skinny New Testament. We need the church. We need the local church. The local church and our engagement with it is intended to be active for our spiritual benefit. And if we pull ourselves away from it, it's detrimental to our spiritual growth. We don't receive the spiritual benefits both ways that come from being engaged with the local church. One author put it this way. His name's Sam Albury in his book, Why Bother with Church? He says this: outside of the local church, that means if we stay disconnected from the local church, we will lack the encouragement God has for us, and we will be failing to help others grow in their faith too. To think we will carry on our Christian lives without the church is therefore a little arrogant. I'm saying that I can manage without the encouragement that God wants to provide me through the local church. And I'm also saying that I won't encourage those in my local church. It's pretty important. It's necessary. It's needed. And one more observation from our text this morning. Look at the end of verse 25. We do all these things. We don't forsake the assembling. We spur one another on. We encourage one another. Why? Because the day is approaching. In other words, 2,000 years ago, same thing for today. In light of the fact that Jesus could come at any time, we should be coming together as a church more consistently, more regularly, and engaging with each other on a more consistent basis, not less. Oh, Jesus is coming. I'm going to spend less time with Christians. We need the church right now. I'm not saying we don't meet here all the time. That'd be kind of weird. We need to be deployed, but we need each other in light of what's happening, in light of our culture and all that's going on that presses against our faith and our values. We need church now more than ever. I know the phrase from a couple of years ago is church essential. It's always been essential. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It's necessary. We need this. So why bother with the local church, both in attendance and action? I want to give you five brief reasons. I move along pretty quickly on purpose to get to these five. And then I have something I want to share at the end that God has put in my heart. But why bother with the local church, both in attendance and action? Well, five reasons why you should bother with the local church. And before I give those to you, I want you to think of this as we go through them. They're in the context of give and take, sharing and receiving, giving and doing. What I'm saying, it's both and. So do you come to church to receive things, you know, to be blessed and to hear the word of God and to be blessed by the worship? Yes. But it's also about giving and doing the one. And it's a give and take. So it's not one way. And we need both of those things. So five reasons why we should bother with the local church. Number one, the local church provides the opportunity for you and I to grow your faith. One of the primary ways in the scripture that we are encouraged to grow our faith is to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. Now, this is not the only place, but I think it's a pretty good place to learn about the Word of God. It goes back to, you know, what kind of church should you go to? You should be going to a church that preaches the Word of God. And I just want to remind you, if this is your only meal of the week, you're going to be pretty hungry spiritually. So, you know, enjoy, you know, take from the meal here, but make sure you're self-feeding during the week as well. You always have permission to open your Bibles Monday through Saturday.
What about fasting?
Absolutely. Different kind of fasting. So the in-person receiving of God's word through our time in the message, but also going to Bible studies, Sunday school classes, these things are important. The early church, Acts chapter 2, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They did it in other avenues, other venues, but this is one of the primary ways. So you want to grow your faith? Be a part of the church. That's why we bother with church, to be a part of that. And also, as you, some of you have young kids, as they're growing up, parents, you have the primary responsibility, according to the Word of God, to teach your kids about the Bible and teach them about God. You have that. But we're here to supplement the program for you. We're here to help you with that. And so that's a great place to bring your kids to church. Once they survive being in the nursery, you unleash them to the classrooms. So, first reason, local church helps you grow your faith. Number two, second reason, support your faith. Right from the beginning, right from Genesis chapter 1, we were created for relationships. 1, 2, and 3. We were designed by God for relationships with each other. God endorses relationships. You understand? He endorses the idea of people being together. And so the church provides for that. The church, our particular church, provides opportunities through community groups. What a great place to support your faith. We encourage you to pray for each other. I hear a lot of you take and receive prayer requests for each other in a lot of different ways. That's awesome. That's supporting each other. And you find out about those within the context of the local church. We have a Monday night prayer group that you can come and be a part of that helps to support your faith. Implementing the one another's of the New Testament that I referred to before is a way that we support and encourage each other in our faith. We need each other. The church, in a very positive way, provides accountability. It should provide accountability as we're with each other to support our faith. And this is going to sound strange. The Bible talks about church discipline. Do you understand that church discipline is also a way for us to support our faith? Because if we're here together and we're caring about each other and we care for each other as fellow believers, and we know someone that we have a relationship with that's kind of stepping away, that's struggling, guess what? We should go after them because we love them. In the context of the local church, we're here to support each other, to support our faith. We need to do that. Number three, the local church is a great place for you to exercise your faith. You spiritually fill up by hearing the word of God, growing your faith. And then you're strengthened. You're like, oh, yeah, I also have these other people in my life that are encouraging me and praying for me in my faith. Those are wonderful things. But don't stop there because you're going to get too spiritually fat. You need to exercise a little bit. Exercise your faith. And the local church provides a wonderful opportunity. It's called serving. Serving. Jesus, I don't know if you know this, and I think you do, Jesus placed a really strong emphasis on serving when he was talking with his disciples. It was really important to him. I think part of the reason was, this is speculation, okay? I don't have an exact verse, other than I do have a verse where Jesus says to his disciples, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, learn to be a servant. But I don't know if it exactly played out like this, but I can imagine Jesus looking at his disciples, especially the 11 that would start after he goes back to heaven, and you've got fishermen and other guys, and they didn't always get along. You've got Peter and other people in there, and I can imagine Jesus thinking as he's talking to them, you guys are going to run church, like start church. You're going to start the church and run it. Okay, you guys need to be servants. Because that's a pretty important responsibility, and it comes with some influence and power, and it could go sideways pretty quickly. So guys, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, when I go back to the Father and I release you to start the church, could you be servants? How important that is. And so we have that opportunity to serve in our church. It's been said that we serve Christ when we serve his church. So when you're serving, in whatever capacity you serve, when you're serving this church, you are serving Christ. And that's important in many different ways, many different ministries. Even right now, as you're hearing and as I'm preaching, there are many people serving in the nursery, kids programs, Sunday school class. People are serving. We had greeters as you came in, parking lot attendants, all wonderful things. We need to exercise. And some of you are maybe, I'm just going to say this, I'll do it in a veiled language and you can see if you pick up on it. Some of you are not exercising as much as you need to. And others maybe are getting sore because you're exercising too much. If you didn't follow me, you can talk to the First Impressions coordinator. She will help you out. Number four, fourth reason why you should bother with the church. It's a great place to express your faith. I love worship music. You know this. I listen to it on the radio. It's always going on in our house. We love to sing, all these different things. But there's nothing better than coming together corporately and worshiping with you folks in the local church setting. Man, I have one, you know, I got those earplugs, but one of them, I don't ever have one in because I want to hear you. And this morning, you were singing out, and I'm just listening, getting distracted, and losing my place, all that kind of stuff. I love that. It's unique to the local church setting. Now, I've been to Christian concerts, and I like to sing and at those kind of settings, but that's not the same thing, remember, because that's not church. That's a concert. But when you gather here, you get to express your faith through worship. Through giving, isn't that great? You have the opportunity to worship through giving on a Sunday morning, expressing your faith and obedience. We have corporate prayer. We have testimonies. Here's another way you and I express our faith. This is why we bother with church. The Bible identifies in the New Testament two ordinances, communion and baptism. The context that they're supposed to happen in, local church. So why do you bother with church? Because on a regular basis, we do observe communion, and we also have baptisms. We're going to have one next week, and so people are going to be expressing their faith. Typically, when they call and they want to know about baptism, they're calling what? The local church, not the Rotary Club. So you bother with church because these things are important to express your faith. I want to tell people I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm going to get baptized. I want to share in communion. Number five, fifth reason why you should bother with church. It gives us the opportunity to share your faith. You have the opportunity to share your faith. And I want to explain this a little bit because you're like, wait a second. I don't come to church to talk to these people about the gospel. I understand that. But let me explain it to you. I really think that you should bother with church because it helps you to share your faith. Let me give you some examples. Number one, in a good local church, the gospel is clarified. So that helps you to share your faith because you know what to say. You're saying the right thing. You're saying the gospel of the New Testament. And so that we're here to equip you to say the right thing. Here's what the gospel is. But also, here's how you can share your faith. The gospel is presented. On a regular basis, the gospel is presented in the church service. And so let's say you're bringing somebody who has yet to make a decision for Christ. That's a way you're sharing your faith, even through the message, because they're hearing the gospel. We've had people come to faith in Christ right here in this room. Because you brought them, and through whoever was speaking, the gospel was shared, or there was another gospel connection. So you're sharing your faith through the local church setting. Now, I know that you can hear the gospel on TV or on the radio, but isn't there a little bit of a disconnect there? I mean, if someone comes to faith that way, that's awesome, but what about after that? Here's another way. The gospel is motivated in the local church setting. This is how you share your faith. I want us to be Holy Spirit convicted on occasion that we realize the people in our life who don't know Jesus are facing eternal consequences. And church reminds us of that, not in a guilty way, but in a Holy Spirit motivated way, that I need to go out, you and I need to go out and share our faith. And I think we hear it every once in a while in church that this is a reality. Two destinations, narrow road, wide road. One leads to life, the other to destruction. There's also gospel giving opportunities in the local church. As you give to missions, do you understand you're part of sharing the gospel around the world, sharing your faith around the world? Now, I know you say, well, Pastor, I could give to somebody and not go to church. You could, but you wouldn't have the best missionaries to give to like we have. I didn't really mean that. We have really great missionaries. But do you understand? I love the fact that when I give towards missions, or to missions, our missions budget, there's the gospel being shared. It fires me up that I know that a portion of my missions giving is helping to rescue children that are caught up in sex trafficking through Destiny Rescue. I'm like, I can't go do that, but that fires me up that they're doing that and sharing the gospel with them. Local church setting. It gives you that opportunity. So there's the gospel giving. There's also gospel going opportunities. Yeah, you hear about it in church. Hey, we're going to have a soccer camp coming up, and we can use some volunteers, and we're going to share the gospel in the soccer camp. Oh, I'm going to sign up. Or we have other outreach opportunities, rolling stoves and other things that we talk to you about. Or we have different things like Christmas and Easter that come up on a regular basis, and we invite people. This is gospel going, right? You're going to go invite people or be part of this. Some are even going to take the challenge and go gospel going on a missions trip. We have 7 people going to Ecuador this summer. And there may be some other opportunities that come up through Samaritan's Purse where we go do some relief work here in the United States. And that would be awesome. You're like, why would I do that? Because you heard about it in church. And you're going to do some gospel going. That's why we bother with church. There are 2 other ways connected to local church that I think help us to share our faith. And you may think they're not connected, but they are maybe more so for me than for you. Funerals and weddings. Every once in a while we have weddings here, and often the gospel is proclaimed at the wedding, and it's a captive audience. They just don't feel comfortable walking out before the recessional. And you share the gospel. And at weddings, there's usually a bunch of people who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And they're like, I don't know what I'm doing here, but it's a wedding. I should probably stay. And then funerals. What an opportunity. You're going to hear next week about someone who came to faith in Jesus Christ by attending a funeral here. The gospel. And a lot of times when there's that kind of a setting, people want the service to take place in a church. especially in the context of our church, someone who goes to be with Jesus and they have a strong gospel presence in their life, but they know they had family members that need to hear. They want it, like, want it here. You want the gospel, right? Oh, yes, I want the gospel. Actually, I don't even ask that anymore because it's not negotiable. That's just part of my part of the plan, okay? I will do this for you as best I can, but the gospel, Nick and I both, the gospel is not negotiable. It's not an accessory for that. It's necessity. So there are many biblical compelling reasons for bothering with church. That was quickly, just briefly mentioned. If I could summarize those five, let me put it to you this way. Regarding the local church, God wants us to show up and show up. It's not on the screen. If you need to write it down, I'll say it again. Regarding the local church, God wants us to show up and show up. That's what he wants us to do. Now, I have purposely, and this might be in only in my own mind, and that's a wonderful place to be at times, but I think I've left a little bit of time because I want to address one final question with you this morning related to our topic. Because we talked about why bother with church. The question I want to just deal with very briefly, but hopefully very clearly and as firmly as possible and lovingly as possible is, why bother with church membership? Now you're like, now it's time for me to go. No, it's not. Why bother with church membership? You're saying, I'm here. I come here. Why should I bother with church membership? Well, church membership still matters. I want to give you two brief reasons. Number one, it still matters because I believe that church membership is biblical. It's biblical. While the New Testament does not specifically state that the church is to have an official roster of members, it seems pretty obvious that in the early church, people knew who was in or not in the local church body. There is a sound basis to state that an updated membership role is a legitimate and useful tool for us today. Let me just read a few verses from the book of Acts, which is really kind of the text that we should be using for a local church. Acts 2:47, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Acts 5:14, nevertheless, more and more women believed, men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. Acts 6:3, and then Acts 12:5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church, a local group, was earnestly praying to God for him. And it later on identifies Rhoda as one of the people there. It's mentioned over and over again that the people were saved, they were baptized, and they were added to the church. Now, I know it doesn't say a specific role, but they knew who was there. And it seems to imply that there was some kind of a level of commitment. They weren't just adding random numbers. They knew who was a part of the church. So I think it's biblical to give consideration to the idea of church membership. John MacArthur writes, while the original membership process might vary from today's patterns, there's no doubt that New Testament Christians were lovingly united and bound to their local body of believers. So it's biblical. I think it's biblical to give serious consideration to church membership. I also think it's beneficial. It's beneficial. I want to give you three reasons why it's beneficial. There's only two on the screen, but I'm allowed to add them on the fly. Not on the fly. This morning, I thought up another one I wanted to share with you. So first of all, commitment. There's the benefit of commitment. In his book, Six Reasons Why Membership Matters, Kevin DeYoung lists some of the reasons why, and I'm just going to read them for you. You don't need to write them down as it relates to commitment. First of all, he says, in joining a church, you make visible your commitment to Christ and his people. Membership is one way to raise the flag of faith. You state before God and others that you are a part of this local body of believers. Secondly, he says, making a commitment makes a powerful statement in a low commitment culture. He says, many bowling leagues require more of their members than our churches. Number three, we can be overly independent in the West. It's one of the best and worst things about us. We are free spirits and critical thinkers. We get an idea and we run with it. But what's, not what, but who's running with us? Are any of us running in the same direction? Membership states in a formal way, I am part of something bigger than myself. I am not just one of 300 individuals. I am part of a body. So commitment. And commitment is also beneficial because it has the idea of ownership within the church. But I also want you to know that commitment also helps to reflect on the commitment that people have with Christ. Because when somebody goes through a Discover BBC class, one of the things that they eventually have to do if they want to become a member is they have to share their testimony. And we have found over the years, sometimes when we get to that place, we find that people don't really have a relationship with Christ. And guess what we get to do? Share the gospel. And so this reveals that commitment, but in a wonderful way. Let's deal with that, because membership doesn't really matter if you don't have that other thing dealt with. So we have this commitment. Secondly, there's accountability. Again, DeYoung writes this about accountability as the benefit. Church membership keeps us accountable. When we join a church, we are offering ourselves to one another to be encouraged, rebuked, corrected, and served. We are placing ourselves under leaders and submitting to their authority. We are saying, I am here to stay. I want to help you grow in godliness. And will you help me do the same? Accountability. That's a benefit. And the third one that I didn't put in there, if you want to write it down, is church membership still matters because it's very practical. It's very practical in this way. Each year when we have a general fund budget and a missions budget that we vote on as a church, you can only vote on it if you are a member. When we present to you a new ministry or missionary to support from the missions budget, the opportunity and privilege to vote on that only takes place if you are a... You can keep filling it in for me. This is going to be fun. When we have a major proposal or maybe a big building project or something that we need to access some funds with, it requires voting for those who are members. When you have the opportunity to elect church offices like deacons and trustees and others, they are only elected by the vote of the members. If you're looking to add to your staff, or if you need additional or need to replace through transition a pastor or pastors, that's a pretty important decision to make, is it not? The ultimate decision is made by the congregation, by those who are members. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you. It's very, very practical. So here are just some membership next steps, and I will be done. Before I give some membership next steps, I don't want those of you that are sitting in the room that are members to sign off. I don't want you to sign off because you're like, Pastor Jay, I'm here. I'm not only here, but I'm a member. Yes. So your part in this is to think about how are you fulfilling your membership responsibilities. Are you showing up and showing up? That was free. There you go. But take this with grace, but take it with consideration on your part. Membership next steps. Some of you in this room or maybe watching on live stream have gone through the Discover BBC class. You've even started your paperwork. And I would say to you, it's time. It's probably time. Dust it off. Fill it out. Turn it in. Let's go. Let's go. Let's do it. Some of you are new and should explore more about the church, and so you should be coming to the next Discover BBC classes. And I will give you the dates. Some of you have been here for a while, and you still haven't taken the class. Good news, it never expires. And seriously, some of you, you've been here for a while, and you need to take the class and give serious consideration to membership. That's pretty much everybody, unless you're a member. So please consider that. And I think my perspective here, I want to share this. Over the past several years, God has allowed our church in a very strategic way to be a place of healing for people where they've come from other places. And so when you come from another place, we don't like, you know, you're not going to get a call the first week after you come. Would you like to be a member? Sign up, well, you know, in 1 week. But I understand that takes some time. There's some healing. I get that. But I do think I want to encourage those of you that are healing, and maybe it's time just to take that next step, whatever category you may be in. And don't let this fall by the wayside. Just let this membership seed find its place in your life as it's appropriate and move on with that. In your sermon guide, I think we have the dates, and it's also in your bulletin. I'm going to say them out loud so you're all accountable and June 16th and 23rd. They're Sunday mornings. They'll be offered both hours if necessary. Those are the next two Discover BBC classes. If you're like, I can't make those dates, tell us and we will find you. We will help you out. We will do our best to accommodate your schedule because that's the next step for some of you. Now, if you're in the first category and you just need to dust those papers off, I would love just the office to be overwhelmed this week with your responses. Because it's important to bother with church. It's okay to bother with church membership. It's biblical, it's practical, it's necessary, it's beneficial, and it encourages us. Let's stand together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the local church that you've established. You love the local church. We should be bothering with it in such a positive way. And God, thank you for these folks and their commitment here. I pray that you would help us to be just leaning in even more to encourage one another and provoke one another to these different things, to be growing in our faith. And God, I do pray specifically for those who are not members that they would just honestly and give thought and reflection to perhaps that next step and that they would just see how that may work in their lives. God, we love this church. We thank you for blessing our church. We don't take it for granted. We pray that you would protect us and continue to guide us to be salt and light in the world that we live in. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You are dismissed.